We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We turn to God's word of truth in Psalm 1, reading the familiar verses, the first three. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I have the dorm students in mind with the following question, but it certainly would apply to the rest of our students. Have you ever had to explain to someone your reason or your parents' reasons for having you come to this school? From a stranger's point of view, questions pop up. Why spend extra money on tuition, room and board, when the school at home is free, talking about the public school? Why have that separation from family for 9 months? What makes the money spent, the distance traveled, that time away from family worth it? Psalm 1 gives a two-part answer. And the negative part comes in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You are blessed, God says, when you learn to break away from the ungodly influence of the world. And make no mistake, that happens in schools, in high schools and colleges, wherever a godless, anti-biblical approach has its influence on course curriculum, as well as the worldview that permeates the whole thing. This is the norm across the country, and it really shouldn't surprise us. Now, before going too far here, let's be clear on something. If a Christian teenager or college student happens to be in such a school, this does not mean that he is going to lose his way to heaven. But it is true that such a student will have to be on guard, as will you, when you're finally done at Emmanuel and you go forth as God's people who are in the world, but not of it. So as verse 1 would lay out for us, one benefit of a school like Emmanuel is the constant effort to keep the counsel of the ungodly out of the curriculum, out of the classroom, even out of the approach we use with students individually, guiding and counseling them one-on-one. Does that then mean that we have a recipe for the perfect school environment where we have just the right policies set, all the right rules in place, and enforced in just the right way? We could never make such a claim. Not when human weakness is always present with all of us, including the adults, and human sinfulness is the big problem that we all face. It is never enough to eliminate the negative, even if that could even be done. We especially need the powerful positive expressed in verse 2. His delight, referring to the person in verse 1, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The Hebrew word Torah, law, means, to begin with, instruction. So you shouldn't necessarily think of the Ten Commandments. This passage is referring to the instruction of God in his word. So when it comes to that positive goal, we are at Emmanuel to have God, through all of his called representatives, bring the preaching, teaching, comfort and encouragement, guidance and counseling in his word to all the students. So let's consider how this happens from one day to the next. When you come here for chapel during a regular week of school or mini class week, it is not to take a break or hang out with your friends. We could think of it as the highlight of the morning. We are here to meet with God in a worship setting. You should expect the Lord to talk to you in the text of the chapel address. Likewise, in religion class, and also those religion presentations tomorrow, expect the Lord to teach you in the Bible lesson of the professor or the presenter. In all classes not called religion, we rely on God's word to know what should be taught and what not, what to exclude, such as filtering out the theory of evolution in a science class. Outside the classroom, we need God's word as the foundation for all the policies we need to have, plus the rules and also the Christian discipline. Having both these things, both benefits going on at a place like this, will be a constant struggle, a challenge, because even though we believe in Christ and follow his word by faith, our sinful nature doesn't want to do that. It wants the counsel of the ungodly, and it does not delight in the law of the Lord. We need God's instruction to show us our sin of liking what the world says and despising what God says. We also need the gospel part that brings the solution to our problem, Christ crucified, as the sure payment for all of our sins, and Christ risen as the guarantee of God's forgiveness attached to his gift of eternal life. The gospel is going to be that river mentioned in verse 3. Water for the soul from God to grow your faith and increase your desire, your commitment to value what God says, all of it, to be more and more mindful of it, even day and night. If that happens, as long as God's word has its influence on your heart and mind, you, as individual believers, become living examples of the picture in verse 3. You, a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It's my prayer for you that God bless your time here at Emmanuel, especially at that river of his word, which truly is water for your faith, the real power in your Christian life, and the certain hope of eternal life, your salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join in closing our worship today, singing hymn 296, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Stanzas 2, 3, and 4, hymn 296.